Well, nearing the end, almost there, World Affairs Council of Western Michigan doing great things in our community. And today, tonight, Aquinas College, tomorrow at Calvin College, we continue the Great Decisions Lecture Series, thanks to experts who bring their wisdom to us. Tonight's expert, all about Canada and Mexico, head of Canada and Mexico's economics at Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, Carlos Capistran here on the line. Mr. Capistran, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Appreciate you, and let's get into your profession as the head of Canada and Mexico Economics, Bank of America, Merrill Lynch. So what work do you do?
So my job is to monitor macroeconomic developments in North America, and then I also forecast macroeconomic variables in Canada and in Mexico. So what the GDP growth is going to be, inflation, what the central banks in each of these countries is going to do, what happened with the political developments and how that impacts the economy. And then I write reports for the bank and for clients with my forecast, trying to help people to make better decisions on their investments in Canada and in Mexico and in general in North America.
Very cool. Again, you are the final on our journey with the Great Decisions. So we look forward to your words. Again, Mexico and the U.S., the economic ties that bind. What fascinates you about the three-party Mexican-Canadian and U.S. relationship, Carlos?
Well, you know, since the North America Free Trade Agreement in mid-90s, of course, trade has developed a lot, and that's been a great story. But I think what is truly an amazing story is how these three countries now really, truly co-produce things together. The best example is, of course, cars, right? But there are many other things. There are some examples. For instance, an example that I like is there's a movie last year that got the Oscar for the best movie. That's actually it's a movie made with U.S. money, but it was actually filmed in Canada. But the director is a Mexican. So this is an example in which the three countries are actually producing a movie, but there are many such examples. So what is amazing is that since NAFTA, these two countries not only trade but actually co-produce things, and because of that we get cheaper cars and cheaper goods in general, and are able to compete with other big blocs in the world, such as Europe or the Asian bloc. So that has truly been a great story.
Great. Again, two nights. We look forward to your visit. Grand Rapids, hosted by the World Affairs Council as part of the Great Decisions Global Discussion Series. Tonight, Aquinas College. Tuesday at Calvin College for lunch. I'll give all the details. WorldMichigan.org. And yes, your talk is entitled Mexico and the U.S., the economic ties that bind. And obviously, a renegotiated NAFTA has been in the news, especially important here in our Michigan. What do you think people from West Michigan should focus on when they read stories, you know, about trade negotiations, well, between Mexico and the U.S.?
Well, what we have now is this new NAFTA, which is called the USMCA. We have the text. There's some changes in terms of local content for the car industry, which is, of course, very, very important. So we know the text. We know the details, so that's good. But what we should be looking at this year is the whole process of ratification, because remember that this new NAFTA has already been signed by President Trump and by the previous president in Mexico, Enrique Peña. But it still needs to be approved by Congress in the U.S., by Congress in Mexico, and also, of course, by the Parliament in Canada. And we're waiting for this process to happen. We believe that this is something that can happen in the U.S. in the following months, likely around the summer. So I think we should be looking at this approval. Both chambers have to approve with a simple majority this new trade agreement. And as you know, with Democrats in the lower house, this process could be a little bit more difficult than what people expect. So we have to watch that closely. Maybe, for instance, with some of the requests of the Democrats, we would need to have some side letters changing some of the things that are written in the USMCA regarding labor, regarding environmental regulation, for instance. Or could it be the case that Democrats ask for a complete renegotiation? In that case, we would have to monitor closely what the potential alternatives are. I mean, it's NAFTA always the default. Is there a chance that we end up with no trade agreement at all? So I think these are important questions to follow. Our baseline scenario is that after a tough process, we're going to see the approval of this new USMCA in terms very similar to what we have right now, and that it may actually be in effect starting January next year.
Carlos Capistran with us, visiting tonight and tomorrow on behalf of the World Affairs Council of Western Michigan, part of our finale, Great Decisions Global Discussion Series, Mexico and the U.S., Economic Ties That Bind. Carlos, head again of Canada and Mexico's Economics at Bank of America, Merrill Lynch. Mexico has elected a new president. What changes might that bring to the U.S.-Mexico relationship?
Well, we're already seeing some changes. This is the first president in Mexico that is from the left. So he has a completely different social agenda than previous presidents in Mexico. Also, he has particular views regarding the energy sector. And these two topics are important in the relation between the U.S. and Mexico. The first, the social agenda, because of immigration. So maybe with an increase in social programs in Mexico, that's the hope. Migration to the U.S. could be less than in the past. And this thing about energy also is also very important. I mean, there was an energy revolution in the U.S. In the previous few years, and that still needs to happen in Mexico. Could the policies implemented by the new president there, Andrés Manuel, that everybody calls AMLO, could make Mexico join this energy revolution or not? So these are important topics, and for sure we're going to see a new kind of relation between Mexico and the U.S. going forward.
The theme of this year's Great Decision Series is Know the World, Then Change the World. Talk about good, accessible resources for those who want to know more about this subject. Carlos?
Well, we have excellent resources at Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, and all our clients can access these resources. We monitor pretty closely the economic and the political developments in Mexico, in the U.S., and of course also in Canada, so the whole North America region. Also, I think that what is very good is that there is excellent coverage in terms of news in the U.S. covering both Mexico and Canada. So it's relatively easy to be up to date regarding, you know, politics in Mexico, politics in Canada, from the U.S. My only recommendation, given all this information that we have, is that every now and then, you know, we need to take a step back and try to connect the dots. I mean, we do have a lot of information, and that's an exercise that is always very useful.
Thank you. How do we find out more about the work you do?
Well, I'm usually in the news, and again, we produce all these reports for Bank of America clients, and they are available to all our clients.
Great. All right. I'll give all the details, but we see you tonight on stage, 6 o'clock, certainly at Aquinas College. More information, World Affairs Council of Western Michigan's website is worldmichigan.org. Mr. Capistran, thank you for what you do.